So our topic today is tefillah based process, and we will see what that means. So we're starting with the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. There are really two Gemaras that discuss this, two relevant Gemaras. The first one is on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, and this splits into a bunch of different lines. First, you have the statement from Abba Ben Yamin. Abba Ben Yamin doesn't really appear elsewhere in Shas. He appears a couple of times, but Hilchos Tefillah. He must have been a Tanya that loved Tefillah, and therefore he only appears in Hilchos Tefillah. But Abba Binyamin says, "In tefillah shadam nishmas elab beis knesses. Shneimar l'shmal arina v'al tefillah makar mina shamtei tefillah." So your tefillah is only heard in the beis knesses. Fantastic. Then you have another statement. Amar Rav Avin bar Avada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzoi beis knesses. God is present in Yishuv. Fantastic. Elokim nitzav b'das kel. Then you have the same exact drasha, that not that Hashem is present in shul, but Hashem is present when what happens? When 10 people are davening together. Right, note, the second statement is about shul. The third statement is not about shul. It's about 10 Jews davening together. It also brings down the Shekhinah. And then the sugya goes on to discuss not just when Jews come together to daven, the Shekhinah is there, but even when Jews are being Yoshev V'din or learning Torah, the Shekhinah is also there. So you have a bunch of different statements, which are all clearly associated with related with each other. You have your tefillah is the most heard in the Beis Knesses. Then you have Hashem is matzoi in the Beis Knesses. And then you have God is present when Jews are davening together. And then God is present when Jews are learning together. The association is there. The question is, are there any halachic connections between these various things? So that's one sugya on Daf Vav Amud Aleph. If you turn the page, there's another sugya on the bottom of the Zayin Amud Beis on Tachas Amud Aleph. And the Gemara there is more directly discussing Tefillah B'Tzibur. There's a whole story, which Amir Tashemi will get into a different time, that there was an Amora who didn't come to Shul. And there were obviously like any good rabbi who was asking after his congregants, why didn't you come to shul? And the response was, well, Yochana, I couldn't do it. They said, why couldn't you get 10 people get 10 people in your house? Have a house minion. That's not something a shul rabbi would necessarily say, encourage. But why don't we have a house minion? They said, Trichalei Milsa. It was too much of a tirka. And he said, so why didn't you daven at the same time that Tzibur was davening? And the Gemara then goes on to discuss how when the time that Tzibur is davening is an Eis Ratzon, and therefore, it's good to daven with the tzibur, or at the time when the tzibur is davening, even as a yachid. Good. So we really have three different types of scenarios where people are davening, and good things are said about that. We have people davening in a beis knesses. We have people davening together with the tzibur, with asara mispalim. Then you have people davening at the same time as the tzibur is davening, but not necessarily together with them. And the, basically the.
Yachid going to a Beit Knesset to daven. There's no
good. So that's exactly what we're going to narrow in on today. Whether or not that scenario explicitly appears in the Gemara, but it's certainly not the second sugya. The second sugya is talking about either davening at the same time as the tzibur or davening together with the tzibur. The first sugya on Davav has the notion of davening with ba'asara, but what about that first line in the Gemara where it says in tefillah shel adam nishmas elav Beit Knesset? Is that related necessarily to the next lines in the Gemara that the tzibur is there, or maybe not? We don't know. Because there are two separate statements. One is from Abba Binyamin, and one is from a different Tana, whose name I'm forgetting, Rav Yitzchak, who was an Amora Bechal. So the Tanaitic statement from Abba Binyamin is just about Beis Knesses. And then you have several statements about Jews davening together. So what is the relationship between these two different Gemaras? Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big tshuva about Tefillah B'Tzibur. The way he frames the whole sugya is what is the relationship between the sugya on Daf Vav, in Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmas El Beis Knesses, and the sugya on Daf Ches, that there is an Eis Ratzon when the Tzibur is davening. So first, we'll just get down the facts in terms of the Shittos and the Rishonim and the Acharonim, and then hopefully we'll have a little bit of fun in terms of trying to figure out the lamdos of a certain line in the Rishonim and Acharonim. Feel free to chime in as little as you want. So there are some Rishonim that clearly think the two sugyos are exactly the same. If you look in source number 4, the Gilyon HaShas, we hear Rabbi Akiva Eiger, on the sugya on Daf Vav, which says, "In Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmas Ela B'Beis Knesses," he points you to Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, which I didn't give you on the sheet because it's a very involved Tosfos. But there's one line in the Tosfos that quotes our Gemara, but it's a different Girsa. What is the Girsa of Tosfos in Avodah Zarah? Ayin Avodah Zarah Dal Adam Beis Tosfos Matzal Kevan Girsasam Ela Im Hatzibur. Meaning, instead of the words "In Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmas Ela Beis Knesses," your tefillah is only heard in the Beis Knesses. When Tosfos was either he had a different text of the Gemara, or when he was quoting the Gemara, he rephrased it as Ela Beis Tzibur. In which case, the two sugyos, like Eli said, are exactly the same thing. The sugya daf av is davening with the tzibor. Sugya daf ches has an additional chiddush that you should daven at the same time the tzibor is davening, even if you're davening at home.
He takes out the words Beit
Knesset. So it's unclear whether or not machlokas achronim, whether or not Tosfos had a different text in the Gemara. Because manuscript, in terms of the manuscripts, we don't have any other text version of the Gemara daf av. Or Tosfos is rephrasing the Gemara. He interpreted Beit Knesset. What are you doing in a Beit Knesset? You're going for minyan, so people are davening there.
Also, the meaning
without right, exactly. You could have a meaning without a Beit Knesset, but when the Gemara says...
Without a Beit
Knesset. Exactly. Right. But Tosos is thinking about the typical case where you go to shul to daven with a minyan. That's why Tosos quoted our Gemara of Abba Binyamin about davening the tzibur. A similar type of move, perhaps, is the Rif. You look on the Rif in source number 5. Again, I should have underlined the key points, but the Rif quotes these two Gemaras Beretzef Echad. It quotes them together. Source number 5. Abba Binyamin Omer. Ein tefilas hashal adam neshmas el bevitz kenasa. Neshin amar shmol arina v'al tefila. Mankam rina shantei tefila. That's the first sugyan daf av. But then he says, Amar Rav Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yosi ben Zimra. Ein tefilas hashal adam neshmas el bevitz kenasa. Shin amar v'nis tefila si l'kashem is ratzon. Imasa is ratzon m'shal shatzibar v'smalvin. So what did the Rif do to the sugyan daf ches, the second Gemara? The second Gemara doesn't mention anything about bevitz kenasa. It only mentions tzibor and time when the tzibor is davening. What does the Rif do to the statement of Rav Yochanan Mishim Rav Yosi ben Zimra? He inserts Beis Knesses. Ein tefilas hashal adam neshmas el beis Knesses. But what's the proof text about? And how is it described? It's about tzibor. B'shash tzibor. And when is the Yisra? So b'shash tzibor mispalvin. So clearly, how did the Rif understand the term Beis Knesses in the Gemara? Presumably. The tzibor, you're going to shul to daven with the tzibor. So maybe there's a ma'ila to daven with the tzibor in a shul as opposed to with the tzibor on the street. But this notion of Eli's question, is there a ma'ila to daven in a shul by yourself, that doesn't, the Rif seems to take it out. So Tosfos erases the word Beis Knesses in the Gemara Daf Vav, puts in the word tzibor. The Rif throws Beis Knesses into the Sugya Daf Ches, but the whole Sugya there is about tzibor, so clearly he interpreted Beis Knesses as a reference to tzibor. Fantastic. So according to the Rif, according to Tosfos, if you are by yourself, you wake up late, Chas v'Shalom, somebody wakes up late, and there's no more minyanim in town, you can't daven in a time when the tzibor is davening, is there a ma'ila to come to this shul, here at David, and daven here by yourself? And so we know, there's no such, as far as we're aware, there is no such ma'ila. However, other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say that there is a ma'ila of davening by yourself in a Beis Knesses. Rishonim say this explicitly, but the one who formulates it very nicely in terms of the Gemaras is source number 7, the Merom Yisada, the Nitziv. The Nitziv is always fantastic in terms of Chazals, and just figuring out which Chazals go where, which Gaonim go where. The Nitziv basically says, we can read it inside, that there are two different sugyos, and they're referring to two different scenarios. One sugya talks about Beis Knesses, that's the sugya on Daf Vav. Ein tefilas hashal adam neshmas el beis Knesses means there is a maila to daven in a shul by yourself, b'yachid. The sugya and daf ches
only.
When you mean only?
Would that negate then a minion outside?
Good. So then, if there is such a ma'ila, then we're gonna have to discuss which one is precedent. Exactly. Which one is better, a shul by yourself or a street minion? But there are two separate sugyos discussing two different scenarios. The sugya and daf av beis knesses means a shul by yourself. It's a ma'ila to go to a shul daven by yourself. Sugya and daf ches doesn't mention shul, only mentions tzibor. And over there is a ma'ila, the daven b'tzibor. So that's what the Nitziv says on source number 7, and then in the Merom Yisada. He, just look at the second line towards the end, v'achakak v'ela tzfila d'yachid. He's talking about tzfilas yachid in a shul. Well, ma'imer zeh, this sugyan davav, ino zomer l'had d'isa l'halan v'ish davkas, ma'i d'ksev v'ani tzfilasi v'gomer imesai is ratzo, m'shal shetzibar smalin, t'hasa mashmo davka imatzibor b'yachad. Sugya daf ches, davening with the tzibor. Sugya daf vav, davening in a shul by yourself. The Nitziv wasn't the first person to realize this. The Rishonim and the Gaonim already pointed this out in different ways. Look at Rabbeinu Yonah, source number 6. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the psak of the Gaonim. V'omrim ha-Gaonim, v'zal, she'afilu k'she'in ha'adam holdik ha-beis knesses, yesho l'shayar she'yispal b'shash ha-tzibor, sh'ashah she'yispal v'nakahal. Good, that's what we saw in the Sugya daf ches. If you have to stay at home, try to daven at the same time as the shul minyan. Then look at the underlying part.
Kavua.
that halakha lemaisa, Rabbeinu Yonah says that if there are no Mar Minyanim in town and you can't daven at time and a tzibur is davening, you should rather daven in a shul by yourself than daven at home by yourself. And this is actually the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskens that in Siman Sadi Seif Yud that if you can't daven b'tzibur and you can't daven at the time and tzibur is davening, there is a maila to walk to shul to daven in a shul by yourself rather than davening at home based on this Rabbeinu Yonah. Good. So then the question is going to be then we have to start having the fascinating question. Then we have two separate milos. There's a milo of davening b'tzibur and the milo of davening in the shul. We have to figure out what is the nature of each and how do they interact. Before we get to the lambdas, just still tracking the shittos, look at the Rambam at source number 8. The Rambam is also quotes both of these gemaras. The Rambam writes, Tfilas hatzibur nishma'as tamid. The tfila of tzibur is always heard by Hashem. Even if they're sinners in shul, God does not discuss it. God doesn't reject the tefillah of a tzibur. Therefore, you should be meshatif yourself with a tzibur. Rabbeinu Noach says that doesn't just mean going to shul; it means davening b'lashon rabbim, davening together with a tzibur. And you should always daven with the tzibur. Fantastic. So that is clearly about tefillah of a tzibur. Then the Rambam says, Uli olam yashkim adam v'yariv leveis haknesses. She'in tfilasam nishmas b'kol eis el beveis haknesses. So this halakha is split into two parts. The first part of the halakha is about tfilas b'tzibur, tfilas hatzibur, whatever you want to say. And then the next line is you should always wake up early in the evening to go to a beis haknesses because your tfila is only heard b'kol eis in a shul. So tangentially, this is actually the only place in Hakos Tfila. The Rambam describes your tefillah as being heard or answered by God. It's like a fascinating thing. You would think, for some reason, that's like the whole point of Hakos Tfila, is to try to get your tefillah answered. I mean, maybe we'll be able to track that. The Rambam does not discuss Hashem answering your tefillahs. Doesn't discuss doing things so that Hashem will answer your tefillahs. Kavana is not associated with Hashem answering your tefillahs. The only time in Hakos Tfila the Rambam talks about Hashem answering your tefillahs is when he talks about tefillahs of Rabbim. Which is a fascinating thing. Yeah, you have to know what to do with it, but it's just a hara. Yeah, Ali.
The lashon of Eloi ben Chatoyim is, I mean, the Messiah says that people are going to be Chatoyim. It's just.
Yeah.
So then, therefore, that is also a part of the need to daven with the rabbi.
Exactly, yeah. It's based on the Gemara and Tanis, but the Rambam is sort of, he's performing, it's coming to Afuke, you might think that tefillas harabim is only desirable if you were davening with big tzaddikim, like in Efrat. If you go to some other place where people aren't big tzaddikim, so it's better to daven at home by yourself and not associate yourself with the zibor. Rambam is saying no, that Hashem listens to tefillas harabim even if there are chotzim there more than tefillas yachid, even if the yachid is a tzaddik.
Yeah.
And in fact, this is the only place Rambam discusses Hashem listening to your tefillos is in tefillas at zibor, and dafka he includes the rabbin, he includes the chotim being there.
Is there such an idea, like, for example,
the dafka bring in a chote?
No, there's like, let's say, sometimes there's like another kol, out there, I don't want to publish, but there's another kol out in Efrat. A Haredi kol out, and they have a mint every day. So, like, you're diving with guys learning kol out, whatever, versus like, diving with Balbatim. Like, is there like an Indian to daven with, like, guys
who are learning,
you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, guys who are. It's tzaddikim or whatever. I mean, I've said I'm joking. Well, who knows?
You're asking sociologically.
Is there an idea like if you could daven a minyan at a yeshiva versus daven minyan at a Baal Bat Hashem minyan? Is there such a concept?
I mean, I think as far as I'm aware,
or 10 is 10, doesn't
it? I don't want to be kovei masmirot. As far as I'm aware, halakhically, in terms of the milos field of tzibur, the answer is no. But in terms of your experience of davening, you might want to daven in a slower place. If there's a serious environment around you, if it's a serious environment around you, it's going to help your tefillah. So there are that does register halakhically. Like, for example, you're not supposed to travel before you daven. But so all these types of shilos, are you allowed to travel to the rebbe to daven with the rebbe, or travel to yeshiva to daven with the yeshiva? So you have to drive before davening, which Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to do. So the answer is yeah, because being in that location is going to help your kavana. So there is a recognition among the postgame. It's already in the Mishabura, I think. There is a recognition that davening in certain locations, certain environments, can help your kavana. But I don't think, in terms of tefillah betzibur per se, other than Barovam Hadras Melech, there's a...
10 is 10, no matter if you're a guy sitting
and learning Torah, there's... There's a mile of davening a place where Torah is being learned. Maybe that we'll discuss that next week.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't think there is...
The only shul that has a minion is a conservative shul.
Right.
There's no women, so okay. You don't have a problem with that, but... That's the only minion. Is it better to daven? This would say b'chatayim.
Yeah.
It's still better to daven.
Right.
In that conservative.
Again, I'm not one to paskin. And then I'm sure you're familiar. The 1960s in America, there were these haramim going into conservative shuls. Are those still applicable? I certainly doubt it.
My parents. My parents in Baltimore. There's a lot of people that drive to shul on Shabbos.
Right.
Whatever. But they take daven seriously.
They daven seriously.
And you know they're davening certainly with people who are machal Shabbos. There's a minion there, but you know, is it better to dive in there or try to go to the next shul over, you know?
I'm not sure. You got to drive to the shul, nobody knows
it. It comes up.
It definitely comes up. As far as I'm aware, there is no maila per se in terms of tefillah betzibur of davening with tzaddikim as opposed to davening with people that are just good Jews that take davening seriously.
But
the kotim. Even the kotim is even. Yeah. The question is if you're gonna where you personally might have more kavana. That is a factor.
No, you're making it a. I'm saying that's the only minion.
That's the only minion.
So based on the Rambam's statement, it would seem that better to still go to that shul.
Presumably, yes.
Since there's no other halakhic problem.
Right. I mean, I think our Moshe Feinstein of Salvechik in the 1960s in America. You might know about this than me. I think they basically put a ban on people entering a conservative shul for ritual purposes. That might have been more just to demarcate
yeah.
Does the band still exist nowadays?
Yeah,
I don't know. I can't imagine. Yeah.
not really a concern.
So at the end of the Rambam is a little confusing. I don't think it's a problem. At the end of the sort of the Chumash Sheshel Ben Akneset Biro Ben Palabo.
Imatzibur.
Imatzibur is confusing. We have two separate minion and Ben Akneset here. So it could just be says the ideal is a combo.
Yeah.
But I would have thought that this. I don't think he says Beit Knesset is a code word for minion, as I initially thought.
Good.
But at the end, he seems to kind of link them together, which you would have thought not so. Just in terms of the academic comment, which is the Rambam, I think was very against incantations and a lot of. So in order to kind of pull that away, I wonder if Tefillah, which is clearly linked to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he downplayed that perhaps to avoid.
Perhaps 100%, yeah. And
give an amulet, and I think
just valid,
and what does he play up instead? The central theme in Hilchos Tefillah is Kavana. It's Kavana. This is Mefarsis Tversky, Yaakov Blitzstein, the people that wrote around Hilchos Tefillah, they wrote about this. Yeah, so Kavana is more internally. And we're going to maybe retract this also. And we know there's a whole seminar about Makom Tefillah, where the best place to daven is. Not supposed to daven outside, it's supposed to daven in a place with windows, things like that. Not consistently, but in many places, Rabbeinu Yonah says, why? Because your tefillah is more Ritzuya in this type of place. The Meiri consistently says because you can have better kavana in this place. So you
that
see.
That contradicts what we did last week, that you need the windows to see the sunrise.
So you need the windows to see the sunrise. You also need, according to the Rambam, you need the windows to be able to point, to look out towards Yerushalayim. The Meiri says, explain the Rambam, is that it helps your kavana when you're looking towards Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yonah says your tefillah is more Ritzuya if you're facing Yerushalayim, your tefillah is more Nisgavah. Yeah, I mean, is it about metaphysics and how your tefillah is answered, or is it about your personal kavana? But yeah, the Rambam is confusing. Well, he starts off with Tzibor, then he talks about Beis Knesset, then he talks about Beis Knesset with the Tzibor. So it ends up being Machlokas Menos Sekilim, how do you read the Rambam? The Kesef Mishnah, who later wrote the Shulchan Aruch, says that there are two separate halachos in the Rambam. One is about Tzibor, one is about Beis Knesset, and there are two separate halachos. You should have them, ideally, Bit Tzibor in the Beis Knesset, but each one is independent value. And that's why the Rambam split them into two separate sentences. The line in the middle, the Olam Yashkim Adam Yarev Lebeis Knesset, is an independent line that there is a maila to daven in a shul, even irrespective of the tzibur. When do you get the namakar, shachin ra, you're a bad neighbor for God, for your neighbors, whatever it is, that's if you don't join the tzibur davening in a shul. But there is an independent maila of davening in a shul by itself. If you turn the page, Rabbi Manoach says, no, Rabbi Manoach reads the Rambam differently. The only maila the Rambam is talking about is the tzibur. When he talks about going to shul, he means going to shul early. So you're one of the first people there. The tzibur is not there yet. There's a maila to be in shul before the tzibur gets there. Fantastic.
Everyone did that.
Yeah, exactly. If everybody was me'asar rishonim, then it wouldn't necessarily be able to have a maila like that. But yeah. Just to finish this off, you look at Yerushalmi. I skipped the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi also seems to split the sugya. So this is source number three. Because instead of the word Beis Knesses, if you look in the Yefeinayim, who's the one that references all the relevant Yerushalmis and the Bavlis, he references this Yerushalmi on the Sugin Dafav about davening the Beis Knesses, and the Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Abba Rabbi Chia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Tzarach Lis Adam L'Spal B'Makom Shum Yuchal L'Tfila. Matal Makom Makom Sher Azkir. Shemi, it doesn't say Azkir, it says Tazkir. It doesn't say Tazkir, it says Azkir. If you need a Makom, it's Yuchal L'Tfila. So again, Beis Knesses might mean a shul. A shul might mean a place where the zebra is. But if you focus on the makom shum yukal tefila, it sounds much more it's about a specific location and not necessarily about the people that are in that location. Perhaps, but the Yerushalmi might fall out on the side. There is a mila davening independently in a shul.
Yeah, for sure. You raised point in the Rambam, the Rambam writes in the last time about Ima Tzibor, outside the guest, it's quite confusing. I think the Rambam understood straight on the street to the next Gemara. Rish Lakish says a person who doesn't go into the Shul in the city called Shachin Ra. Shachin Ra to whom? To Kosh Baruch or to the people of your city. So the Rambam says to the people of your city, so if they're doing inside the Shul, who is Shachin Ra to? That's it, the Kesset and the people there, and you're not going there, you're Shachin Ra.
They're Shachin Ra.
You can't Shachin Ra to nobody.
Right, shocking right. Sounds like it's a communal thing.
So that's
yeah. Good, fantastic.
But
it's an independent line of Beis Knesses. That's what the Kesset Mishnah read the Rambam, and that's what gets quoted in Shulchan Aruch, it's an independent line of davening in a shul. Great, fantastic. Now that we've, according to some Mishnah at least, and the way we pass them, we've disentangled davening in a shul from davening with a tzibor, the independent line of davening in a shul, what is the mila? What is it about shul that makes your tefillah ain't tefillah shatim nishmas el Beis Knesses? What is special about davening in a shul halachically? So this is both good and bad. There was not like official raid on brachos. Like look, other mesaktos, Kedusha and I have this exclusive writing on the more national mesikim mesaktos. It's like official raid. It's like the chakiras are well worked out. Brachos, you sort of have to like go through things on your own and sort of figure it out. So this is my understanding of the different shitos that exist in Rishonim. If you might agree or disagree with my reads. But I think there are three basic ways of understanding the maila of davening in a shul, and then we'll go through them, and then we'll be able to have some interesting nafkaminas. The first way is alluded to, I think, in Rashi. I mean, I didn't put the Rashi on the English translation, but Rashi has an interesting formulation on davening in a shul. It's Rashi in Daf Vav Amud Aleph, which is somewhere here on the sheet. I can't find it. You guys probably can't find it either. But Rashi says, the Marish Rasha is the Makom Rina Shamte Tzvila. Where there's Rina, that's where you should be davening. Rina is a shul. Why Makom Rina Shamte Tzvila? Rashi says, Makom Rina, Beis Knesses and a shul. Shesham Omri Matzibor Shiros Vesishbakos Bin Imas Kol Arev. Because that's where the Tzibor sings Shvakim to Hashem with a pleasant voice. So Agav, I showed this to Rav Shlomo. He was very excited about this. Because what do you see from this Rashi? That part of the definition of a shul is a place where there's nice singing. It's not my idea. Rav Sternbach points this out. He says, Rav Sternbach thinks that everything has to have a mukkar in Shas. So what is the mukkar that people sing in shul? It's a first Rashi.
Rashi
could have
been
shorty if there's Rav Shiva David. Exactly. It's what's stated in Rashi. It's a first Rashi. Arev is part of the definition of a shul. I don't know how much the singing they actually do in our Shurmuk space Spanish. I can't imagine so much, but Nimas Kol Arev is probably contextualized based on that, based on different locations. Yes. Sham Omrim. Omrim Shir was the Shvaka. That's good. But Nimas Kol Arev sounds like there's some type of vocal element to it. So, but whatever Rashi is a little bit unclear. But whatever he's saying that you should daven in a place where singing to Shiros and Shbakos to Hashem happens. So if Sumi Rashi reads the Gemara like this, it's an independent mila of you davening a shul by yourself, what does that mean? You should daven in a place where on a regular basis the tzibur comes together to sing to Hashem. This is also the indication of the of Rabbeinu Yonah. If you go back to the source number, sorry, I'm losing myself.
Source number six,
thank you. Source number six. When Rabbi Yonah quotes the Gaonim, that there's an independent mile of davening in a shul, even as a yachid, he says, what is a shul? It's a place that's kavul, and you call it tefillah satzibor. So the fact that the tzibor is davening there gives this, on a regular basis, gives this place a special mile. Similarly, look at source number 12, the Aruch. The Aruch is the earliest dictionary we have of the Gemara. Ein tefillah shel adam nishmas el beis knesses, source number 12, shnei malarin about tefillah. Mukam Rina Shamte Tzvila. What is Mukam Rina? Perish Mukam Kibbutz Am. What is the definition of a shul? Literally, Knesses. It is a place where people come together. Shemasichin Umranim. That they sing, they talk, they sing, whatever it is. Shamte Tzvila, that's where you should be davening.
So, I read the Aruch Tumidim in Sichas Shulchan.
Oh, good. So that was my first. Go. That was the first way I read it. That would be fantastic. I had this argument with Noah when we're learning the sugya inside. Whether or not he's talking about Sichas Shulchan. But that would be fantastic. I think there are makoros that point in that direction. Shlomo Dekhovsky, who was in the Bezdin Gadol in Yerushalayim, in the Rabbin of Bezdin, has a fascinating tshuva, it's a fascinating psak, and it's published in Pesukei Din Rabbanim, where there is a amutah that was a shul that had some type of building situation, and they wanted to split up. There was a majority of people wanted to create a different shul, a different amutah, whatever it was, and they wanted to get half the building. And so they went to Shlomo Dekhovsky about the Bati Din, other people said, no, you can't split up, we want the whole building. And there was a whole tshuva there, mostly about the halachic gather of an amuta and how things are supposed to split up, what are the bylaws. But there is a tangential part of the tshuva, a couple paragraphs, about what would the original minyan, what do they use this other half of the building for? What do they use the other room for? And they use the other room for the kiddush. They have a kiddush and kugel there after davening. So the breakaway said, like, what do they need at Bichlal? They have a separate room to daven, they have the main sanctuary, and they just use this room for kiddush. So they don't really need it, so they should give it to us. So Shlomo Dekhovsky, their rights, based Knesses, Kimashmo, Kipshuto, is a place where people come together, and anything that is part of community building, such as having a Kiddush after davening, because the Gemara says, Legima Makarev, that eating together, drinking together brings people together, that is part of the functions of a shul. And therefore, you can't say, oh, it's just a secondary, auxiliary need, and therefore they should just give it to the other minyan.
No kiddush, no shul.
But it's a fascinating thing. He's Madaik out of the base Knesses. He has the Shuv Lakhsam. So for the points in this direction also, Knesses means people coming together, and anything that is involved in that function is part of the definition of base Knesset. Therefore, if you have a kiddush room, you can't just automatically give it away to another minyan that wants the davender. But either Sikha school or non-Sikha school, and what do you see from these Rishonim? What is the definition of base Knesses regarding the place where you should be davening even as Yachid? It's a place where the tzibur does good things. The tzibur davens there. The tzibur talks there. Why is there a maila for me, as an individual person, to daven in the place where the tzibur normally davens, or the tzibur comes together for positive purposes? Because what is the hemshik of the Gemara and Davav? Where is God matzui? Where the tzibur davens? Where learning takes place? Where the people are yoshev v'din? Where Jews get together to do good things, hashlishchina is there.
But that would sort of then... argue against the Gemara that said if you're a Yachid, you should daven at the same
time.
As a Tzibur. Because is it a timing thing when the Tzibur is davening, or is the Makom that's a Makom Tzibur? If you're not there, then what are you really gaining?
Right, I think that's exactly the point. The ideal is to daven together with the Tzibur in this location of the Tzibur, the Tzibur normally is. But if you can't, you should get one or the other. Either get the time and the Tzibur is davening, the location.
So what's more important?
Let's
I wake up and I
good.
Could daven. So, I can't make it to shul at that time because let's say I have my kid, I'm babysitting, was sleeping in the crib, right?
Yeah.
So do I daven biyachid at that time while the tzibur, or do I
good.
Wait till my wife gets home and I go later into the
shul? Fantastic. Halacha l'maisa, we say the zman shel tzibur mispalel has an adifus over the makom. But we'll see in the Rishonim Achronim. It's not so clear from the Gemara. I'm saying Shulchan Aruch. You want to halacha ma'aseh to Paskin. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But God willing, we'll be able to track that a little bit in the Nafkaminas in the next 5 minutes or so. Let me just finish the thought. Who says this explicitly? The Beis Elokim. Beis Elokim is the Mabit. Mabit was a postik in Tzfat at the same time as the Shulchan Aruch and the Rizal. And he wrote a sefer on Tfila. It's a mixture of Hashkafa, Makshava, and Halacha. And he, when he goes through these Gemaras, he says the reason why there's a ma'ila to daven in a tzibur, daven in a shul, even as a yachid, is because the tzibur normally davens there. If you look at the underlying part, and source number 13, v'zeu ha'nirtzav v'yis k'neses, shu makom kibbutz rabban l'tfila, v'yis barach matzoy l'shmo l'tfilasam. The best, God comes together, God is present in places where Jews come together for good things. So this place is a place that's saturated with the divine presence, with the Shekhinah. The Akar Shahuk Bahamakam Latfila, once this is a place where people daven on a regular basis, how you mukan mushpa lios nena kolmas falabo. Then there's a residual Shina that resides there even after the tzibur is no longer there. And therefore when I come and daven as an individual, I am tapping into that Shina that is brought down there by the fact that Jews come together there for good purposes.
How long does that last?
Good. Until the shul gets sold, or the Gemara says the shul exists until even b'shmama, even when the shul is destroyed and it's abandoned, the shechina is still there.
So there's on a serious note, it's more relevant here in Eretz Yisrael. You have places that used to have shuls, right? So would it be better to go daven there?
Good. So hold up on that thought. According to this, it might be, it's based on where people daven, not necessarily in a place where there's an official Kedushas Beit Knesset, we'll see. But yeah, in a place where people used to daven, there is a residual Shekhinah that resides there. According to this, it's not even just places where people, Jews come together to daven. If there's some people read the Gemara, Makam Rina Sham Tei Tzvila, what do we know about the word Rina in Chazal? Rina sometimes refers to Torah. Ein Adam Lo Mid Ein Rina El Rina Shel Torah. And Kumi Roni Belayla, the Rambam says, refers to Torah. We're not going to read inside the Alshech. The Alshech and the Vilna Gaon, they both say, Makom Rina Shamtei Tzvila, what does it mean? What is the definition of a Beis Knesset where you're supposed to go and daven in by yourself? A place where people are learning. It's not even necessarily a shul where people have davened there in the past. Even a place where people learn Torah, that is a place where Shekhinah resides, and therefore it is a good idea for me to go and daven there. Why do I like this pshat of the Alshek and the Vilna Gaon? A, because it just shows you that it brings Torah and Tefillah together. That's something which we'll discuss maybe a different week. But it just shows you that Makom Rina, that Ma'ila of Beis Knesset, is just the fact that the Shekhinah is there. You could get there in multiple ways. But also, historically, the Alshek and the Vilna Gaon are probably correct. But the Beis Knesset, in the Second Temple period, this is more from the academic side, but Beit Knesset in the Second Temple period was probably used more as a place of Torah discourses, Torah learning, Kriyas Torah, and less of a place of davening. The word synagogue, which is the Greek word for shul, for Beit Knesset, literally just means place where people come together. Sin is like synthesis, coming together. Gog is like somebody that brings things together, like a pedagogue is somebody that brings children together, or a demagogue, somebody that brings people together. Dema is people, Gog is somebody brings them together, for bad purposes. But that's the definition of the word synagogue. And the evidence that we have from Bayit Sheni is that both in the Greek literature and from our literature is that the Beis Knesset was mainly used as a place of Torah learning and discourses. The founder of another religion that's similar to Judaism, which I'm not going to mention here right now because of the Makom Kadosh that we're in, when he wandered around Eretz Yisrael and he entered various synagogues, and they used their religious literature was originally written in Greek, so they have the word synagogue there. What does he do in synagogues? He doesn't daven. He gives drushas. Four different times in the literature of this other religion that's competition to us, who lived around the same time period as the early Tanayim, he doesn't daven. He davens a lot. He doesn't daven in synagogues. He gives drushos in synagogues. And presumably, that was the way synagogues were used until the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, and then davening in the Beis Knesset became more regular. That's the consensus in the scholarly literature, particularly in Eretz Yisrael. This guy, Ezra Fleischer, was somebody, a professor of Hebrew U. He wrote the key articles about this. So the fact that based Makom Rina Shamtei Tzvila, that people are place where the Torah is being learned there, that's the place where you should have it. And historically, I think that's what happened, that they took Batei Knesset, where people were learning, people had Kriyas Torah, public discourses, public drashos, and people started davening there. But what's the lumdos? Okay. The Shekhinah is there. And then, therefore, it makes sense for you to tap into the Shekhinah when you're davening there.
We're getting kind of on a tangent, right? But just noting that it was already a finish for Rabbi Amir Riyasi to reinstitute the davening.
Yes, good.
So that might have been lost.
That might have been lost, or perhaps shuls and chutzlaretz function differently. The Jews, again, this is my alternate lifeline for me. It might have had me as a professor somewhere in some godforsaken university in America, which I'm very happy that I'm not in a godforsaken university in America right now. But because a lot of them are really godforsaken, unfortunately. Sorry, I didn't get to. It's probably is kafira. This is not my kabbat hat. This is the other hat. But the Greek word used for a synagogue, for a shul, Beit Knesset, in Alexandrian Judaism, the Ring by Sheni, they have a different Greek word for it. It's not synagogue, it's something else. As a machlokas achokrim, whether or not that other Greek word means more that there was a makom tefila, or also was a makom. Because in Alexandria they had the shul. Yeah, maybe in Chutzlaris they weren't close to the mikdash, so they daven in the earlier stages in shuls. Yeah. But maybe in Eretz Yisrael, it started as a Beis Knesset, as literally a place where people came together for what purpose, for important communal matters and for learning Torah, and then the shuls the shul's, then the davening happened at a later stage. Anyway. Sorry? Yeah, it's not Klal Abinam. It's saying historic, the fact that the Gra and the Al-Shuk say Makom Minu Shem Tzvila, that the Shechina is there versus the Makom Torah, and that's the place you should have it. And I think that concept, yeah, that concept fits in with what the Chokrim say. Every time I mention something from the world of academia, I like mentioning Latova, my teacher, Dr. Elman, Allah Vashalom. He was a fantastic person. Yeah. Yusham Chokrim. Sorry?
I had him also.
So I was Yoshev Eitzel Raglov, Ms. Abik Bafar Raglov for 8 years. And then he had a lot of Mesiras Nefesh. He was my dissertation advisor. So he was commenting on chapters from the hospital bed, from his hospital bed, from rehab during his final illness. At one point he used to call me up at random hours to yell at me about various things. Mamish from his bed. At one point, he told me that it was hard for him to read, so he had his daughter read the drafts that I sent him before. I wasn't sending him things when he was sick, but stuff I sent him before. He had his daughter read him the chapter drafts, and he would give ha'aros, and she would write them down and send them to me. Like, so that's like real Mesiras Nefesh. He's a very special person, and he was
in his class right after his car accident.
You were in his class, all right.
And then he also pushed himself a lot.
Yeah, a lot of mysterious. He knew Kol Torah Kula. He was unbelievable. A lot of idiosyncrasies, but Mamish knew Kol Torah Kula, and a lot of mysterious nefesh for Talmidim. He was machtis me to Shari Academia in a way that still kept me a little bit from, but still gave me the best academia. So I have a lot of akaras tov to Professor Elman. Fantastic. So that's one shot. The Shechina is there because the Tzibra happens on a regular basis. Tzibra because it's up there, so you want to tap into that. Look in source number 16, the Beis HaBechira. Beis HaBechira says, why should you daven in the shul? This is the Meiri. Why should you go to a shul by yourself? Get out of your house. A shul is a place where it's mukad for tefillah, so you're going to get more in the mindset of davening if you're davening in a shul by yourself. Again, nothing about metaphysics, nothing about the shechina being shor there. You should daven in a shul because you're going to have more kavana in a shul. There is a third shot there. The first shot is the shechina shuria there, so your tefillah is going to be more answered. The second shot is that it has to do with your kavana. The third shot is that where is tefillah ideally supposed to be? Again, I didn't give you all the course about this, but if you look at the Rambam Sefer Mitzvos, what is the base tefillah, the ultimate base tefillah? The base Hamikdash. The base Hamikdash is the ultimate base tefillah. The Rambam mentions that in Sefer Mitzvos and in his mitzvah of tefillah. What is the Mikdash Ma'at? The shul. And not just an idea, it's not just an idea in Hashkafa, an idea in Chassidus, whatever it is. There are halachic ramifications of this. Where does Kedusha's base Knesset, the Gemara discusses the base Knesset as Kedusha. You can't sell it and use the money for Kulin. And things of that sort. You can't eat and drink in a shul. You can't use a shul for your own purposes. You can't walk into a shul to protect yourself in the rain. Where do all these halachas come from? Sorry? Or for a shortcut. You can't use it as a shortcut. So there's a whole major machlokas rishonim. The Ramban says, this is source number 17. The Ramban says, it's all the Rabbanan. To be honest, the Kana says, asu osa ketashmishim mitzvah. You use a lulav for a mitzvah, you use sittas for a mitzvah, you use a shul for a mitzvah, so you have to treat it with a certain level of respect. You look in the Urayim. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah deraisa mora mikdash, a fear in the base of mikdash, not using the base of mikdash or abayis as a kabadaria, not spitting in the base of mikdash, treating the base of mikdash with respect. What does he say this extends to? On a deraisa level, to a shul. Mora mikdash, the deraisa melakakat siva biyakanes adon mikdash, obeis kanasas, obeis medrash, shinai bahem mora vikibud. That there is a mitzvah to deraisa to treat a shul with respect with yira. And he goes on to quote the Gemaras about Kedusha's Beis Knesses. The Kedusha's Beis Knesses is similar, Me'in, to Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam is also, I think Rav Asher Weiss is a shiur, he has like 13 to 15, depending how you count, rios to this idea. Again, halachically, not ashkafically, that the Kedusha's Beis Knesses is Dumya, Me'in, Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. We could go through some of them. I don't want to go through all of them right now. Look at source number... Just one more. Source number 22 and 21. Sifrei Devarim. Sifrei Devarim says there is a mitzvah from the Torah not to destroy the mizbeach. How do you know you're not supposed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash? Destroy that Barazara, but don't do this to your Beis HaMikdash. Similar thing. You can't erase Hashem's name. So in the Medrash Halakha, what do we have? There's an Issa Dereisa to destroy Beis HaMikdash or to erase Hashem's name. Look in the Rambam, source 21. What does the Rambam add in to this lav? Lotasum kin l'Hashem l'kechem. Mitzvah samachay. Hishi zirenu min netotz u'me'abed batei avodos hakel yis'aleh. U'me'abed sefer nevuah. U'me'limkok hashemos nekbadim v'adom alazeh. What did the Rambam add on? Not just the Mizbeach. Ma'abed batei avoda sakel. What are all the according to Madaiah, the Rambam? What is part of the Isser d'Oraisa of not destroying the Beis HaMikdash? Not destroying a shul. Not destroying a shul.
It could be Mishkan,
but the cast the Mishkan all the way down and say that it's referring to destroying a shul. Okay, good. I hear the point. Is there a mitzvah d'Oraisa to build a shul in your community? So the Rambam sounds like there is a mitzvah to build a shul. You look in verse number 23. There's a mitzvah to build a shul. Where did they get the idea of this mitzvah to build a shul? Look at Moshe Feinstein, verse number 24. Again, you don't have to read it inside. He says it's because this is domet to the Beis Hamikdash. It is me'ain of the mitzvah ba'asuli mikdash. He says it on a Drabanan level. But Rav Asher Weiss, who knows Kol Torah Kula, knows all the Achronim also, quotes this truth of Moshe Feinstein, then he quotes the Steichemed. The Steichemed quotes Achronim and say it's part of the mitzvah d'oraisa. It's not just a mitzvah d'rabbanan me'ein, v'asul l'mikdash, you should build a shul. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa for every community to build a shul based on the pasuk of v'asul l'mikdash v'shakanti v'sochem. The same mitzvah d'oraisa to build the Beis Knesses is about building a shul.
Don't the shuls come down from the
shul? Come down from the shul. I have not been. My shul is still situated in Agan. The building fund is still active. We'll see whether or not the building comes down in a Shemaya or from the area, and we'll see. I think it's a different tfisa of right. This is the different tfisa of Israelis and Americans. I think the Israelis in our shul are just like, oh, we'll just lobby the area over and over and over again. Hopefully they'll give us something. And though I think American communities know, like, you have to fundraise, you have to build it yourself. The area is not going to give it to you.
Fundraise and you run out of money.
Fundraise and you run out of money in the middle. Yes. So we have three different pshatim now as to what the Maila of Davening in a Shul is. We have the Shechina Shriya there because Jews come to Jews go there for mitzvahs. But again, good. But the Shechina Shriya there because people are learning there, people are davening there, things like that happening. Or it's a place where there's more kavana because you're getting out of your house, you're in a makam's mukha v'tfilah. Or the Kedushas Beis Knesses is dumya to the Beis Hamikdash, and the ultimate nisvah tefillah is a daven in the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is the Beis Tefillah. What are some interesting nafkaminas? We'll just go through them very quickly. Let's say you can actually have more kavana in your house. Let's say you have a room in your. Let's say you're not your house is you have an American mansion, and you have an extra room dedicated for tefillah. And your kids are not going to be there. And the room dedicated for tefillah has all the shemos v'ashem on the walls, and everything is set up perfectly there for you to have the ultimate level of kavana. Is there a ma'idah for you to leave that makom and go to the shul and daven the shul? Look in the Me'iri, and you're not going to read. We don't have to read the Yerushalmi inside. But the Me'iri is a daik out of Yerushalmi. It's verse number 28. Talmud Amarav shemispalo b'tok beisu b'yichud the kavana yisira kivu makif as atma machitzas barzo klomashup yakol lamud b'tua b'tefilaso shemikubelas. The Me'iri says that if the question is your salon, your living room, or a shul, you should daven in a shul, but even by yourself, because you got more kavana there. But if you have a makom miyukad for tefillah in your house, that has a ma'ilah over a shul, because you're going to have more kavana than makom miyukad for tefillah in your house. You would be a shakin ra if the minyan is happening, you didn't show up to the minyan. But we're talking about somebody that woke up late, let's say. The choice is between davening b'chidus in your house or davening b'chidus in the shul.
Oh, not
minyan yet. So according to the other pshatim, if you follow the mabit, that it's the shul is a makom where the shechina is, the shechina is there, if your tefillah is going to be answered. If you follow the achronim, let's say the shul is dimming the base of mikdash, which is the ultimate base tefillah, then of course you should daven in a shul by yourself. But if it's all about kavana, then maybe you could have more kavana. Maybe you can actually have more kavana in your house. Another potential nafkamina. Let's say you find a place that has equal or more halach shechina or halachic kedusha as a shul. But it's not a place where people normally daven. What would an example be of a place that has kedusha, dumah de beis hamikdash, shraus hashchina? It's not a place where people normally daven. Maybe Beit Midrash. Sorry, maybe Beit Midrash. We'll do that next week. Maybe a kever. Halakhically speaking, the answer is the case is a sukkah. It's a fascinating thing. You look at the Rambam, source number 30. The Rambam is talking about halakhah sukkah. The last line of the Rambam says, "I'm a spaldel, ratzam a spaldel, sukkah, chutz a sukkah." You could daven in a sukkah, or you could daven outside your sukkah. So what in the world is going on about davening in a sukkah? Halakhah l'maisa, we paskin that it's better to daven in a shul than daven in a sukkah. When does Rambam say you could daven in a sukkah? If choice is sukkah or your house, then you could daven in a sukkah versus daven in your house, daven in your house versus daven in a sukkah. But if your choice is a shul or a sukkah, it's for sure a daven in the shul. And that's why, that's the way the Mishibur paskins. I gave you Chazan Ovadia over here, source number 31, or Ovadia Yosef. He paskins that you should daven in a shul rather than davening in a sukkah. But there were many Chassidish Rebbes and the Chassam Sofer that daven in their sukkah consistently, either b'yachidus, or they got a minion in their sukkah and he didn't go to shul for all of sukkahs. Look at this, source number 32, the Minhagi Chassam Sofer. So what do you have with a sukkah? Is it a makom that is miyuchad for tefillah? Do you have the zchus of the rabbim that's there? No. But does it have kedusha me'ein kedusha the beis hamikdash? Perhaps, halachically, it does. Chal sheishim chal shem shemayim al sukkah. The lachos of sukkah are modeled after the lachos of the beis hamikdash. Look in the.
Let's take for I'm gonna take an extreme example, giant stadium, right?
So yeah.
Shas.
Yes.
Daven mincha after. Better daven mincha there, or you know afterwards go home to you know New Jersey and daven your local school, right?
So,
I mean there you have.
Right.
I mean,
Exactly. There you have Rovam, and you also have the Meiri's point. You're gonna have more kavana there, perhaps. But halakhically speaking, but also
like staring at Eli Meister.
Right.
But
Madison Square Garden, looking at the rafters, and
you're not davening to the Elie Leizav, Elie Kassav. But yeah, I think that also in Lamdos that also might be a nafmina of this because it's not a makom that's kavua for tefillah. Again, the lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not the kavua of the opposite, but it is a makom where there is a very large sibur there, and if you're going to have a lot more kavana there than you would have back in your shul with 10 people. So in terms of the maila of davening in the shul, so then yeah, if you follow the meiri, it's about kavana, then you should daven in Madison Square Garden. If it's about the fact that the tzibur has davened there multiple times, so there's residual Ashras Hashkina there, so then you shouldn't. Exactly. So sukkah is like the opposite of nafkamina. Yeah, similar. That there might be Ashras Hashkina there, but it's not a makom that is kavua for tefillah.
The weighs out against the Knesset.
Yeah, well, we pass an imat tzibur weighs out against that. But I think Ellie's question, right? If yachid here, yachid there, or if you get a tzibur together in your sukkah. Should you go to shul, or should you organize a tzibur in your sukkah? Many Hasidish rabbis, apparently, back in Europe, they organize
a... Come on, it was very strong.
Exactly, but they were losing the maila of a mokum kavua for tzibur, and they thought... Yeah,
so what weighs out? Or, for example, you have a big, I assume the Hasidish community, a big tish, not in the shul, maybe you're in the mokum of the rebbe,
and
a whole special to be there and daven there, then to go back to your...
Exactly, and that's why, again, I'm not making the argument one way or the other, I'm just saying... You have the shittos here, and it's an nafkamina of what is the definition of the ma'ila of davening in a shul. One final nafkamina is, let's say you have a makom that is kavua for tefillah, but doesn't have any kedusha space knesses. Let's say you built your shul al tanai, that it shouldn't have any kedusha. Yeah, exactly. You're davening in there's a place in your office.
Every time I was out with Mincha Rabbi Elman after.
Ah, yes.
It's a very quick.
Very quick.
5 minute.
And when I was there, he made the point, he always put on a gartel, even though he said he thinks the gartel is a ration custom, which means in Judaism, Torah Simacha, you're going to put on a gartel anyway. Yes. So let's say you have a makom that's kavua for tefillah, but it doesn't have kedusha space knesses. Is there a ma'ila to daven there? So you can go through the sources yourself if you want, but there is a way of making a corner of Rishonim, of building a big Shnesses al Tanai that shouldn't have real Kedusha. The Divrei Chaim has a long shuva, the sons thereof. The Chassidish Rebbe is like doing everything at their shul. They daven, they learn, they eat, and they meet people. And he says why? Because they're all masna, their base matter should be a base vad. But they daven there on a regular basis.
Yes.
Are they losing out on the ma'ila of davening in a shul? So if it's about makom kavua l'tzvila, that there's a residual shechina there because people do good things there, people are doing amazing things there. But if it's about kedushas based knesses, which is dumya to kedushas based hamikdash, there's no formal halacha kedusha in these places, and therefore you would be losing out on the maila of davening in a shul. The Divrei Chaim says this actually explains a lot of the Yerusha issues in the Chassidish world, because he said the Betzei Medrash aren't halachically shuls. They're just based on the Chachamim, which are under the ownership of the Rebbe, and for the Rebbe to decide who they go to, it's not owned by the Chassidim.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's the opposite. That's saying that the Rebbe, the pretty Rebbe, everything he did was for the Tzibur. Here's the opposite. It's saying Yeah, they have a shul in their house, but it's really owned by them, and there's no kedusha there whatsoever. But yet they daven there on a regular basis. What do you see? You see, they felt that as long as the makom kavua, kavua the rabbin, kavua the tefila, it has a ma'ala of davening in a shul, even though it doesn't have any kedusha. I don't want to keep people here too long. I already went over my normal time.
Which I'm scared to ask about because I think we're all the motzei shabbos mar. Ah. See, I'm on the street, and I have a minion 2 minutes into the shul. I'm like, but it's kavua. We even were there before. Meaning our motzei in the parking lot. It's a kavua minion.
So this is exactly going to be a thing. Yeah, there are other groups.
So, like, it's like a competing. We're not competing with the shul.
So I'm not going to pass one or the other. There is a ma'ala of davening in a shul. It is
like a kavua.
If it's kavua the tzibur, so then you have some shitos rely on, I guess. But yeah, it's not kavana. It's not mitzvah.
I might have more kavana in the street because that's my.